I'd like this morning to share with you a message on a Thanksgiving recipe. Some of you are preparing a recipe for a Thanksgiving meal, so I thought I would share with you a recipe for a thankful heart, if you will. And it's found in Colossians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 15, just three verses, 15 through 17. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. And you may know that the Apostle Paul wrote these words from a prison. So he wasn't just an armchair theologian, you could say. He was someone who understood well the trials of life. And certainly the trials that he experienced were more than we've experienced. His sufferings for Christ. He said this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatsoever or whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So we're going to look this morning at a Thanksgiving recipe. Thanksgiving is a time for giving thanks, isn't it? Pretty obvious. Sometimes we forget the obvious. And we think, well, you know, Thanksgiving is Turkey Day. That's when we get together with families, with our family or friends, have kind of a party. But it's really about Thanksgiving, and I suppose we need this annual reminder to remind us to be thankful, not just for the one time of the year, but to carry that thankful attitude throughout our lives. It's really a part of worship. It's why we come together on a Sunday morning or whenever we meet together to offer up praise and thanks to the Lord for his many blessings. When you think of it and start to count your blessings, how can you not be thankful? Just the fact that you are here this morning and breathing and in a beautiful place here that God has provided for us to come together and worship and serve him together. It involves a celebration of God's gifts in a Thanksgiving meal. That's what a lot of people think about Thanksgiving. So in thinking about that Thanksgiving recipe, that Thanksgiving meal that you're preparing, also think about this recipe, if you will, for a thankful heart. What's the recipe? How do we become more thankful people? To be thankful as we ought to be. Because we know that it is something that we owe to the Lord. We're commanded to do it. But as you know, something that we just have to do is not something that blesses the heart of God. Just because we feel like, no, I need to be thankful. So I'm going to try to be thankful for what God has done for me. And say thankful words. Well, it's more than that. It's really a thankful heart, isn't it? An attitude of thanksgiving, gratefulness for what God has done for us. You know, I think it's human nature to grumble about everything. And I think as we go along in life, there seems to be more things to grumble about. And so maybe we get to be grumbling people, grumbling Christians even, rather than thankful Christians. So I just want us to think about how we can turn from this attitude that we often have of complaining to an attitude of thanksgiving. The scripture says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace," and be thankful. So that's there in Colossians 3:15. We're going to think about the first element or the first ingredient, if you will, in this Thanksgiving recipe. And that's peace. I think because thankful people are peaceful people, because they realize how blessed they are. And when we forget that, there's an unrest that starts to build in our lives. We begin to complain. We begin to murmur. You may remember in the Bible, you may remember the Israelites in the wilderness, how they murmured against Moses and really against God, and how God had to deal with them very severely. It's kind of a warning to us, isn't it? Not to be grumblers or complainers because of what God has done for us. If nothing else, he sent his son to die for you on the cross. He paid the debt of your salvation. Of your sin, and has saved you from your sins and given you eternal life, given you an inheritance in heaven forever. How can we not be thankful? So there's a power here. Let the peace of God rule, it says. Now, rule is a word that really means to be like an umpire in our lives. It is to guide us. It is to guide us heavenward. Paul spoke of that when he said, God has called me heavenward. And there will only be peace when we plug into that power. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Do you remember that? There is a peace of Christ that we are to allow to govern our lives. We are to submit to that peace that He wants to bring in our lives. He spoke peace to the troubled waters. You remember that on the Sea of Galilee. He said, peace be still. But I think He said that more for our hearts that are troubled. We are not to let our hearts be troubled, Jesus said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So there is a peace that comes as we are grateful, Christians, for what God has done for us. There is a prince of peace. And is that not Jesus Himself? Because we remember the Bible says that when He was born, the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The prophetic scripture calls Him the Prince of Peace. Isn't God saying here we are to let the Prince of Peace rule in our lives? I think so. We are to focus on Him, not on the circumstances. Because if we focus on the circumstances and the people that just seem to try our lives, and sometimes people very close to us, then we'll begin to be robbed of that peace that He wants to give us and that thankful attitude, that thankful heart to God. Again, focus on Jesus, and that will begin to bring you to that attitude that you know you ought to have, the attitude of thanksgiving. There are places as well in that peace. We say that the world needs peace, but the world will not have peace until the Prince of Peace is allowed to rule in the hearts of people. That's why we need to be sharing this good news of Jesus. We need to bring the Prince of Peace to other lives. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a very exclusivistic statement. But think about it. He is the only one who can bring peace to the human heart. But in that Thanksgiving recipe, there's also a precept. There's peace. There's a precept. And I added this one. I think you have three points there. I added an extra point here, so you'll have to squeeze that one in. But I was reading here in verse 16, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And I believe that that's why we meet together on a Sunday morning like this. It's why we meet together for a Bible study. It's why we, every day as individuals, should begin the day with God, reading His Word, allowing His Word to draw us closer to Him. Prayer is important, obviously. I'm going to say a little bit about prayer. It doesn't really mention that here, but it does farther down in the book. So I'm going to bring in a book and another extra point here, but not one of the main points, but the Word is what I want us to think about right now. The source, the Word of Christ, it says. Now you may be wondering about that. Why it says the Word of Christ? Why doesn't it say the Word of God? I mean, the Word of God would be everything, right? And the Word of Christ, only the words that are in red? I don't think so. Some would say that. I believe that it is all the Word of Christ. You may remember the time Jesus walked to Emmaus after His resurrection, and He says that two disciples came and walked with Him, but they didn't know that it was Jesus. But He showed them all the things in the Bible pertaining to Himself. And of course, all they had then was the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. So I believe that all of it is the Word of Christ. And we are to allow it to dwell in us richly. And I love that word that's translated richly there. It's really a literal translation. Because there are treasures in this book. It is really a treasure book. A book full of of precious jewels and treasure beyond compare, beyond measurement. And we rob ourselves when we do not spend time in this book. I want to challenge you, if you have not already started doing this, to begin the day reading God's Word, allowing God's Word to strengthen you and to speak to your heart, and to begin with a prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. There's a sharing as well. Doesn't it say teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and with all wisdom, rather? It does speak of music here later, or singing. But with all wisdom, we are to share the Word. I believe there's the lesson of the manna here. When the manna was hoarded, you remember the manna in the wilderness? God rained down this bread from heaven on the Israelites out in that barren land. And it's really a picture of this, of the Bible, of the Word of God. Jesus said, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But as the Israelites collected that manna, the temptation was to hoard it to themselves and to take more than they could consume themselves and share with their family and others in need. And there were some who became hoarders of manna. I think it's what happens when we hoard the Word of God for ourselves and we don't share it with others. So we need to share. And it's why it says here, maybe why we're not the thankful people that we know we ought to be, because we're not sharing. Share the Word of God with your family, with your loved ones, with your neighbor. And you don't have to take a Bible and say, I'm gonna preach to you. But just share it as God gives you opportunity to be a prophetic voice in your corner of the world. There's praise. There's peace. There's precept. Again, the ingredients, if you will, in this Thanksgiving recipe. Praise goes on to say, and as you sing psalms, this is the second part of verse 16, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, first of all, there's a spring. And that spring is really what we just read before about the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly in all wisdom. And you may know that the Psalms is really the hymn book of the Bible. And so the Jewish people would sing these beautiful words that we find in the Psalms. And it's to be a springboard. Every song, spiritual song that we sing ought to be really a scripture put to music, which really most of the music that we sing, this is certainly the music that we sang this morning, very worshipful, very scriptural. And it's why it says here, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's really a command. But we think, well, I'm not gifted musically, so I'm not going to sing. You're really disobedient to the Lord when you do that. Not only are you disobedient to the Lord, but you're robbing yourself of a great blessing. Don't you get into thinking that way. You are commanded to lift up praise to the Lord. If not, you're going to become a grumbler. You're going to be a complainer. You're going to be having your own private little pity party, as we're so prone to do. I'm not just saying you. I think we're all prone to be that way. But there's in that praise, there's a spring. There's a song of praise, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with gratitude, doesn't it say? To the Lord, gratitude in your hearts to God. Really, you can't worship God unless you are thankful. So think about that. Think about that as you start your work week. And really, Sunday is the start of the week. We think about it as the end of the week, but it's really meant to be the start of our week. And what better way to start than with a song in our heart, a song of worship, a whistle a tune, or hum a tune. But lift up the Lord as you go about your life. And you'll find that your life, your whole attitude will change. People will be blessed to be around you and not depressed. Blessed and not depressed. That's good. That's certainly what we want to do. And there's a sacrament, if you will. Doesn't it say singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord? It's really what defines a sacrament. We as Baptists don't really use that word. But there is this sacred aspect, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I think it's so sad that sometimes we get these little tunes stuck in our head that are really unwholesome and unspiritual, downright wicked. Because the devil wants to do that. He wants to imprint our minds with all of these things that are from the world. So it's why I believe we need instead to fill our hearts, our minds and our hearts with this word. And then out of the overflow of that, we will offer up praise to the Lord. Practice. If we could look there at verse 17, it says, "In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him." Well, that pretty well sums it up, I think. Everything that we do, we are to do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. I believe it's the answer to all the unrest and anxiety and discontent that we feel. Famed author John Steinbeck wrote a book entitled The Winter of Our Discontent, one of the books that I read when I was a young person, before I even became a Christian. But I thought, well, that really sums up the human condition, the winter of our discontent. I know we don't really have winters here. I'm waiting for winter to hit, but it hasn't hit yet. And some say it gets a little cooler in the winter. We love it so far. But I think we all understand this idea of the discontent that can set in our lives. Sometimes the gloomy cloud just seems to descend over us and it just doesn't seem to want to part. Well, maybe it's because we have failed to apply the recipe or put together this recipe that God has given us in His Word to practice a thankful heart, to say thanks. And we show thanks as much as we say thanks. Sometimes we say we are thankful, but our actions say otherwise. And it's why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. That was said by Paul too. He said it in another place, in another way, but he said in everything, in verse 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And in that practice, there's an employment. Whatever we do in word or deed. I don't think that means every time we do something or say something, we're to include these words, thank you, Jesus, or praise the Lord. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But as you know, it can get to be perfunctory and maybe we don't really mean it. But I think what it means is that we are conscious of the one from whom our blessings come. And we are careful to give Him the thanks and the praise for it. I mean, how many times have you talked with someone and you were maybe sharing something good that has happened to you, but you failed to give thanks to God for it? I think it's what it means here, that we are to practice that thankful heart, whatever we do. There's to be an employment. And also in prayer, we are to express thanksgiving. In chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So I think what that saying is that prayer really expresses this gratitude to God for what He's done for us. Lifting up praise, lifting up thanksgiving to the one from whom all blessings flow. It's enjoyment. We are to do all in the name of Jesus, or the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. There is to be an enjoyment of God and His blessings. How can you be thankful in your heart if there isn't this thankful expression of gratitude in your life and in your countenance even? People will see it. People will see as you drive down H1 or wherever you are driving or walking for that matter, do people see a complainer or do they see someone with a grateful heart? I think it's so important that sometimes we get in those places where we think we're anonymous and so we'll just act like other people. And when somebody cuts us off, we'll do what other people would do in that circumstance. And we miss an opportunity to really live out the Christian life as God intended us to live it. An endorsement. We are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, it says, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. And why should we give the credit to Jesus? Well, because I think because if we don't, others will think we're just good people. And you've said that about someone, I'm sure. You know, that's just a good person. Or others may think that about us. But we are rather to give glory to God because we are really not good people, are we? If you know your heart, like Jeremiah, I think we would agree, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It will lead to this attitude of gratitude. So while you're putting together your Thanksgiving recipe this week, you think about this recipe of peace, seeking the peace of Christ in your life. And by precept, spending time in His Word and allowing His Word to strengthen you and strengthen your faith and encourage you and make you the person that you know you ought to be. And then by praise, lifting up praise to the Lord. And again, that doesn't just mean saying praise the Lord all the time. It's really an attitude of our lives that returns to God the praise that is due to Him because of His blessings upon us. And then practice. We are to give thanks. We are to express thanks. We are to be careful to be thankful in all aspects of our lives. I think it's what's so hazardous about having this one time of the year that we're, you know, that we're reminded that we ought to be thankful, and we agree, and we sort of give thanks. But then the rest of the year, we just go back to our usual grumbling and complaining. That's really not what we're supposed to do. I'm sure you know that. It's not only what we're not supposed to do, but there's really no reason for it because God has blessed us beyond measure. Again, think of Jesus. Think of what He did for you. Think of His death on the cross and how He paid all of your sin debt there and how He has invited you to come to Him and invite Him to come into your life and make you a new person in Him, give you eternal life, and you'll begin to worship Him if you will just give your life to Him this morning.